Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us at our second service this morning. We introduced a new series that we are launching into called The Art of Neighboring. And today we'd like to continue that with the first message that we've titled, Who is My Neighbor? Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 29 is the passage that we're going to look at this morning. And so let's go ahead and I'll read that for us if you can follow along. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This is God's word. Last Sunday, we introduced this series by looking at Acts 17. And in Acts 17, we looked at this verse. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And we're reminded, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New or in the 2,000 years of the history of the church, or even us here today worshiping together as Trinity, we're reminded, first of all, that we don't live where we live by accident. The very places that we call home, whether it's a single family home or an apartment, a townhouse, whether we are in a care facility or wherever we might call our place as home, we're reminded that the time and the very place where we live is not an accident. God has a very specific plan and purpose for where we actually live. God has placed us in our very specific neighborhoods, the very specific block or cul-de-sac where you live, not just to raise your family and call a place home, but we believe for the kingdom of God that there is this very, very specific reason he has placed you in that community to expand the kingdom of God from where you call home. And I think that is greatly challenging, for often we think the kingdom of God is where we go to our local churches and we worship together and then we go home, and we forget that where we are at is really the mission field where we are called to expand the kingdom of God. And so wherever you find yourselves living, not only the physical homes, but the people that you call your neighbors are your neighbors, not by accident or chance or because you love the landscaping or the flowers or the white picket fence, but God has placed you in a particular community for a particular time for his kingdom purposes. It is not an accident. And so we began to think about that last Sunday. But secondly, we were reminded in the midst of our calling to make disciples of all nations, whether it be in the far side of the world, whether it be in unreached people groups, and whether it be the very people whose homes we drive by every day to go to work or school, the Great Commission flows out of the greatest commandments, which we're reminded of, which says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I believe this comes first, because if we are finding ourselves loving God with all of our being, and we are practicing God's love to our neighbors around us, we can't help but to be engaged in the Great Commission. They go hand in hand. And so we are reminded, secondly, that we are called to love our neighbor. In the places in which we live, God has reminded us that we are to live out the first and greatest commandment, no matter where we find ourselves, especially where we call home. In our passage this morning in verse 29, this expert in the law wanted to justify himself, as the scriptures say. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" He tried to define his neighbor on his own terms, to the time and circumstances and situations that he could choose to his convenience. I choose the time, the place, and the people that I want to love and care for in order to justify himself. But this question, which leads to our third truth this morning, we must ask, who is my neighbor? And without a doubt, neighbors, as we study the scriptures and the passages that we read and the following verses, yes, anyone who is in need, no matter who they are, how different they are than us, normally that we wouldn't associate with this particular group of people, when they are in need, they are our neighbor. And all of us would say amen to that. Amen. Yes. It was shocking for a Samaritan to help a Jew. Loving our neighbor involves showing care and compassion, even when it's not convenient, because that shows the love of God, often to people who we normally wouldn't associate with, hang out, or have over for dinner, or to hang out for a cup of coffee. Whoever is in need. Yes. But last Sunday we were also reminded, but what if Jesus meant not just a general metaphorical understanding, yes, of course, whoever's in need, they're my neighbor, whether they're halfway around the world or people that we run into when we're going about our day's business. But what if Jesus included in this understanding of who is my neighbor? Yes, anyone in need, even if they're very different than ourselves. Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen. But what if Jesus meant our literal neighbors? How would that inform the way in which we live? And I believe that if we can embrace that understanding of the answer to this question, who is my neighbor, it would transform the way we live our lives, and we would see breakthroughs in the kingdom of God like we've never seen before. Because if we forget that aspect, and all it is, well, whoever's in need, it's only during a mission trip. It's only the people who have special training that we begin to truly love as our neighbors, as we love ourselves. But if we can embrace this understanding that, yes, that is true, but Jesus wants us to understand that he wants us also to love our literal neighbors, that changes a lot the way in which we live our daily lives, and the very people who aren't there by accident who call us their neighbors. It moves us away from our life of faith in Christ as coming to church and just worshiping, to bringing church and the power of God's kingdom to where we live, to the very people that we drive by, that we walk by when we're walking the dog, when we're at the bus stop, the new people that have moved in the past 6 months or year, 2 years, there's a plan and purpose why we are in that particular community, in that particular home, at this particular time. And so often, we're very good at loving people generally, or we try, but we often don't think that Jesus really meant our literal neighbors. But imagine if we as the church really began to take this seriously. Jesus' desire for us to love our literal neighbors, how that would impact the very communities in which we live. And so where do we begin? How do we do that? Well, very simply, and this is the main challenge of this morning's message, is we love our neighbors by first learning their names. Just learning their names. Because you can't say that you truly care and love someone if you don't know their names. In preparing for this Art of Neighboring series, I was reminded through their training messages, the power when neighbors begin to truly get to know one another. In neighborhoods where people actually know their names, there's up to 60% less crime. People that are connected relationally as friends among the people in which they live, by knowing their names as a starting point, tend to live longer. They thrive more. In times of disasters, where often we wait and expect first responders to come, and thank God for first responders, but often when the system is overwhelmed, our neighbors, our literal neighbors, become our first responders and come to our rescue to help us, to serve us, to aid us. When we as the church forget that the gospel is an embodied gospel, it is a gospel that is lived out in our daily lives, not just truncated in the physical places where we worship, but it flows out of our lives, led by the Spirit of God. Impact is made. And we just don't support a handful of missionaries on the far side of the world, which we need to do, and it's very important, and we're going to celebrate that this coming summer. But all of us have been called to live lives as God's mission people in the communities in which we live. Imagine the impact if the church begins to have that shift in their mind and understand that we are missionaries in the very neighborhoods to where we live. I don't know about you, but there were very few cars leaving their driveways to come to church this morning, even before COVID. We are surrounded by the unchurched who have the same dreams and passions and desires as you and I. And we are called to be light and salt, not only to the far ends of the world, but in the very streets in which we live. When we forget that, we are missing out, and I think some of the greatest opportunities to live out the gospel in our daily lives. And tragically, when we forget that, there is often very little difference between Christians and non-Christians in the way in which they actually treat their literal neighbors. Sadly, sometimes Christians may do a poorer job. When I see the graciousness and the kindness of the neighbors that I've had who weren't Christians and yet showed me greater kindness than often those that profess to be followers of Christ. And rarely and tragically do we ever hear those Christians, they're the best neighbors of all. I don't believe in their God. I don't pray to Jesus. But boy, they know how to live and serve and show me care, kindness, and love. Try to move next door to a Christian, for those disciples of Jesus will rock your world. They're amazing. They make the best neighbors. But if we truly are people who have received the greatest love of all in Jesus Christ, should that not be the way in which believers are described as? They are the best neighbors of all in their care, their kindness, their concern, in the way they serve. But tragically, rarely do we hear that in today's busy lives, isolated lives, where often years will go by and we don't even know their names. And so that's the very practical challenge. We love our neighbors, our literal neighbors. We begin there in the communities, on the streets in which we live, and we begin by first learning their names. And so the training materials provided a lot of humor. Hey, man, what's up? To, hello, Mike, how are you? Hey, Bob, is much better than, hey, bro, nice to see you. From a quick wave on your way to work or to the library or post office or picking up your kids to actually knowing their names and becoming friends. That as much as it means for us when someone actually knows our name is the essential first step. And so this morning, as you take a look at this graphic that you probably have already seen in our materials that we have begun to get out, this art of neighboring map, and there your house is, right smack dab in the middle. And the question this morning is, can you name the names of the eight closest households, whether they're singles or married or lots of kids in that family, can you name right now the eight closest households around your place that you call home? If you can do that right now, would you give me a show of hands? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. How about at least five families? At least five. Okay. Pretty good. As we move forward through this series, our hope and our big ask is that we would begin to fill out this chart with the literal names of our literal eight closest families or households near where we live, whether to the left, the right, front, back, above you, below you. That is your assignment. And as we begin to work on that, and please, you cannot just Google their names or get some kind of online document. You meet them. Even if you have to suck it up and say, hey, I know we've been neighbors for 30 years, but what was your name again? I'm so sorry. Sometimes the door for evangelism begins in a great act of humility. I'm sorry, I never got your name after all these months or years or decades. Because it shows that you care. It shows that you give a hoot. Just as it means for you from being called, hey bro, to hey Peter, how are you doing? It opens your heart. It shows concern, care, and kindness and the love of God. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be able to do it. And just because you can name that doesn't mean we're done. But we want to begin, and we'll talk about this, to begin actively praying for these families, these individuals. And as you connect and build relationships, who couldn't use prayer for all that you're going through? And as you begin to do that, we will look for active opportunities to invite, to share the love of Christ, the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus. And even if they never come to faith, we're still going to love them, pray for them, serve them with kindness and love. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful to hear those Christians, you want to move into a community of Christ followers. I don't believe in that Jesus myself, but they will shower you with care, kindness, and love. Our neighborhood is better because of Christ followers. Move into a neighborhood that has Christians because it makes a difference. Wouldn't that be amazing, like the early church, to hear Christians as described as people that actively help communities thrive? We are called to be not just church people, but people who are following, living out the greatest commandments of all. To love God with all of our being and to love our neighbor. And in this case, the challenge is our literal neighbors as ourselves. I've been listening to various messages and podcasts just to keep growing and learning about leadership and how to be a better pastor, a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better neighbor. And this week, early on, I came across a leadership podcast by Pastor Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, that many of you are familiar with, a purpose-driven life, purpose-driven leader, purpose-driven church. And he says something that really gripped my heart. He began to share all that their church, it's obviously very, very one of the nation's largest churches, but in all the challenges of COVID, he said that neighboring is going to be one of the keys for churches to move forward out of the shutdown of COVID and move out in power and in mission. Because he said that grief will be a huge door to evangelism for the church over the next couple of years as we come out of COVID. Because people have lost so many things in this past year of the pandemic. They have lost loved ones. They could not go to their prom or graduation. Some have missed the birth of their first grandchild or an important ceremony or even a funeral. There are so many things Rick was sharing that people have lost this past year. And when it catches up and they realize what they have lost, there's going to be a whole lot of grief. And this grief, rather than bemoaning it or feeling we're hopeless, no. He said is the greatest opportunity for the church and evangelism because it is going to be the front door for evangelism. Because so many people are dealing with this as we come out of COVID. And as a church, we need to find ways to prepare our church to love and reach grieving people all around them, including the neighborhoods in which we live. This is the extraordinary opportunity that God has given you and I today. In a time of such desperate loneliness and isolation, in this beautiful spring season that we're in, what opportunities that we have before us to truly love our literal neighbors as ourselves. And as we build relational bridges and really care by first learning their names, we will have an opportunity to share God's love for those that are lonely, grieving, and hurting, the many, many needs that often are hidden behind the closed doors of the homes on our very block. And so, three simple things and we end. Connect in some act of kindness, some act of trying to learn their names and share care and love in some kind of way. I was so thrilled, even literally driving back home from church last Sunday, of getting messages from many of our church members that they were so convicted by this that they began to do something, whether it was going over to say hello. Simple act that they begin to practice even within an hour after last Sunday's service. And so this week, I want to challenge you again, whether you had an opportunity to do that or not, connect in some way to your literal neighbor. And so Kathy and I prepare to walk two doors down on our street to meet the new family that moved in several months ago that we have not even met face to face. After buying a beautiful cake at Hartford Baking Company, Kathy and I walked over and we have been talking about getting some chickens for the kids. I'm still not 100% sold on the idea, but Kathy wants it and the kids want it. And as we went over yesterday afternoon on a beautiful day, a little bit windy, we saw our neighbors on their front lawn with a half dozen baby chicks and chickens that they had been passionately raising for years since they moved from Denver to just in the past few months here to Connecticut, into our community of Glastonbury. We spent an hour talking with them, playing with their chickens, learning about all the ins and outs of what it's like to raise chickens. I think I'm doomed. I think I gotta buy chickens now because the kids are so excited and things like that. We got to know their names, John and Liz. Our sons are on the same bus. They're the same year. And I believe they're gonna soon become fast friends. And we can't wait to begin to get to know them and share the kindness of Jesus with one of our literal neighbors. We invite you to an opportunity to be part of a community. New groups are just starting. We have one starting up with the Baileys tomorrow night that will be all virtual. I need that accountability to say, hey, Peter, let's take a look at your map and see how many names you got. And we're going to be doing this along with you all. We invite you to be part of this communal experience in this series of Art of Neighboring. We had a great first small group meeting, and we cannot wait, as our family is also hosting a Art of Neighboring small group in our home. And begin to work on completing this map. And you don't have to do it all by next Sunday, but over the next couple of weeks, we begin to learn their names. Even it means walking over and knocking on their door, saying hello. What was your name again? I'm so sorry. We've been neighbors for years, but I never got your name. My name is Peter. And through that, I believe God will begin to give us a fresh new vision for our lives, for our families, and our homes will become missionary enterprises where out of our homes, we'll be able to love, serve, and share the gospel of grace to those that we actually live next to. And so we don't live where we live by accident. We are called to love our neighbors. Yes, anyone in need, but we begin with those that are literal neighbors. We must ask, who is my neighbor? And fourthly, we love our neighbor by first learning their names. Please pray with me.